Good evening, everyone. For those who don't know me, I'm Peter Shaw, head teacher of Carrington College. This is my meeting, this is your meeting. So this is your opportunity to ask as many questions as you want to. It's important that we get a lot of questions tonight from students, parents, staff, you know, as well as quite often get input from uni reps and councillors, which is great. But this is a public meeting, so let's make sure that the stakeholders in Carrington College speak tonight, so very important. And other schools, so welcome if you're from. You represent other schools or organisations on the RY. You're all welcome. Just from a housekeeping point of view, there's a fire exit there hidden behind that curtain where that white door is. There's one over there with an exit sign, and there's another one in the corner. We're not expecting a fire drill, so if you do hear a bell, run as fast as you can to one of those three exits, and I'll be the first out. Alright, so enjoy the evening, it's very informative. The presentation lasts about an hour, is it, roughly? And then that's your chance to ask as many questions as you possibly can. If you have to leave early during the meeting, don't worry, because there's lots of other meetings all over the island over the next 14, 13 weeks. Okay. Over to you, John.
Oh, can we have microphones?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you do. And we've got roving mics when you want to ask questions as well.
I will use the microphone, I've got to shout loud enough, but I don't really want to shout in a meeting. So good evening, thank you very much for the introduction. My name is Jonathan Bacon, I'm the Executive Member for Children's Services, but also as of about 2 weeks ago, the leader of the Isle of Wight Council. So this comes under my brief in two ways really, because it is a major consultation exercise for the Isle of Wight Council. This is our first meeting following the launch of the consultation, so I'm very pleased to see so many people here this evening. It's heartening we've got such a good turnout and an interest in what is such an important subject. I'm going to speak just very briefly for a few minutes, because obviously what you want to hear is about what's going to come up on the screen and the detailed content of the consultation. What I will do firstly, very briefly, is introduce you to those people who are here this evening who are going to deliver the presentation and also be available to answer questions at the end. Firstly, to my right, we have Felicity Rowe, who is the Assistant Director of Children's Services for the Isle of Wight Council, who will be leading the presentation. And then, if I go along the line over here, we have sitting down with the red tie, Martin Gough, who is the Head of Information, Admissions and Transport. Sitting next to him, Philip Walker, who is the Head of Post-16 Education. Steve Cotterill, to the far left there, to my far left, I should say, who is the School Improvement Manager. And then standing behind, Chris Holt, who is the Programme Manager for Children's Services. So we have a good range of experience from the officers, so hopefully we'll be able to answer any question that you do have arising out of the presentation. I think I'll leave it to Felicity to tell you how we've arrived at this consultation and the detail of why in her presentation, but I will say that underpinning what we're doing here today and indeed during the next 3 months is the duty of the Isle of Wight Council to do its best for island schools and island education, and thereby island children. You will hear a lot of information tonight about the results profile of island schools, and that, I think, will indicate to you that we need to do something. We're not in a situation where we can just sit back and do nothing. We've got issues, we need to address those. And that is what the Isle of Wight Council is doing here. As will also be explained to you, part of this process is because we have the chance, as I'm sure you may have seen in the press, of securing a very large amount of government funding to assist rebuilding, remodelling some of the schools on the island. This consultation, again, as will be explained, leads into us getting the signature on the cheque for that money. So it's an important part of that process. As to the consultation itself, the one message I would like to get over is that this is an open consultation. There have been some comments from various quarters saying or to be absolutely blunt, it's all a fix, minds have been made up. That is absolutely not the case. The process, we have no fixed plan at the moment. What we're doing, why we're here this evening, is to help create the plan. And we need your comments, your input, as part of the consultation, so we can arrive at what will be the best plan, the best way to go forward for the future of island education and island children. So that's why I'm so pleased to see a lot of people here this evening, and I hope we're going to get a lot of comment, both this evening and also during the consultation period over the next few months. You may have heard, perhaps I should be very open about another point as well, that there's already been some amendment to the statistical information that has been put forward in the original consultation document. Yes, there was a mistake. We hold our hands up to that. As you will see, there's an awful lot of information here, and perhaps it's not surprising there was a slip. We're correcting that. Actually, at the same time, in case of serendipity, the Department of Education rather unexpectedly issued a whole load of fresh information which feeds into the statistical basis of this consultation last week, just after we'd launched the consultation and printed the document. So we're taking the chance to reprint it. For that reason, we haven't got copies available this evening. I do apologise for that. But what we are going to do, we've got a set of forms. I think Chris has those, or they're at the back of the room. Thank you. And so to get a copy of the consultation document, please fill in one of those forms and we'll post you a copy direct. As I say, I apologise we don't have them live here this evening, but you will get the content of that document, pretty much all of it, on the screen. So I hope that gives you some information to inform you for tonight's debate. I think that's probably all I need to say at this stage. The format of the evening, as I say, I will sit down, which you'll be very pleased about. Felicity will give a presentation. It will last about 50 minutes or so. And then we're, I think, timed until 8 o'clock tonight. And so we've got, you know, we want to keep as much time as we can for questions. I think for everyone's sake, we'll try and finish at 8 o'clock. We'll all be flagging a bit by then, I suspect. But as I say, I hope that we'll have a good hour for questions and comments, as much as we can fit in that time. So thank you very much for listening to me. As I say, I will shut up now and I will hand you over to Felicity to give the main presentation.
And you as sort of people who really matter in all of this, we can all have confidence that we've looked at this from every possible angle, that we've got all the right data out there, and that we're looking at the right information. And I'm really grateful to the people who so far have come forward and queried things. Some of the queries I can answer by saying, no, we've got it right. One or two I've already given, so no, we've got that wrong. Great, we'll change it. But when we get to a decision at the end of this process on what's going to happen, we're all confident that we've unearthed everything that we need to unearth. I'm really, really keen that happens. So, Jonathan's already said that the Isle of Wight Council has a legal duty to make sure that there are enough places, school places, and that they are of a suitable quality. And that's right across the system. I put up there for 11 to 14, so primary, secondary, and post 16. Actually, there's also a duty to ensure sufficiency of early years places as well. So it really is sort of 0 to 19 or 0 to 25 for those with special needs. Duty to make sure everyone has a suitable and sufficient school place. What we're aiming to do, so this consultation, I didn't wake up one morning and think, hey, wow, it'd be a really good idea to cause a lot of people huge anxiety, and I know we are, by having a consultation. We really think this is necessary for all sorts of reasons. The real paramount one is that we want everyone on the island to get the best possible outcomes from their education. So those who are pupils in here, we really, really want you to do your best possible, get your best possible GCSE outcomes, the best possible A-level outcomes you can get, and go on so you can get really good employment prospects, really good higher education, etc. That's what's at the heart of all of this, and how can the Isle of Wight get an education system that takes you there, that enables that to happen and doesn't hold anyone back, because parts of the system aren't working quite as well as we'd like them to. So that's the overarching aim, and that is actually what gets all of us as officers and councillors out of bed in the morning, because that's what we're aiming to do. Part of that picture is that all schools and providers really need to be good or outstanding. That is where the whole pattern of Isle of Wight education, the whole aspiration needs to be aiming for. And that's all our responsibilities, not just ours or the head teachers. We can all be part of that jigsaw. Colleagues of mine and Steve sitting here are working really hard with island schools to help them on that progressive pathway to becoming good and outstanding. We really, really want to see high levels of progression to higher education, because that's a real benchmark of how well the system is doing for island pupils and how that can really key into life chances. And I know that brings with it considerable burdens financially. And in fact, we're seeing dips in the whole national picture now in terms of the progression of pupils to higher education that haven't been matched in the island. The island's numbers have stayed up. So that's really good news, and I hope that that will continue. And then we want everyone to have really good and excellent employment prospects, because that's about the living future of the island and the prosperity of the island going forward. So we need change, because at the moment, and I'm going to peddle as much as possible here in fact and figures and data, and you'll see that as a theme throughout the consultation, GCSE and A-level outcomes on the island need to improve. And we've got some tables later that we will show you, showing the island lagging behind its national averages, but also lagging behind those of what are called statistical neighbours, which are the education authorities that are most like the Isle of Wight in terms of pupil and community characteristics. There are too many places in the Isle of Wight school system, kind of exemplified by this school, which is an 11 form entry site that currently has somewhere around 4 forms of entry pupils in it. There's a bit of a rattle around feature, and what really matters there is that it costs quite a bit in heating and lighting and caretaking and everything else. So we wouldn't do this consultation just to take surplus spaces out of the system. The consultation is actually about getting the right places in the right place, but surplus spaces are an issue. But the key thing, or one of the key things here, these are all key, the Department for Education has deep pockets for the Isle of Wight, and that millions sign has a big lot of S's on the end of it. So priority school building money for this school, Christ the King and Ride, is already promised. And it's riding on the back of getting this consultation right in terms of how the DfE put their hands in their pockets to do that funding, and I'll come to that later. So those are all really rather good reasons why we need some change. So the priority school building programme underpins this entire consultation, because it is that programme that is going to come up with the cash to enable change, physical change in school building to happen. It's Department of Education funding that's allocated out by an agency called the Education Funding Agency, one of those quangos. And it's allocated and was allocated 2 years ago to Carisbrook, Chrysler King and Ryde. And it's sitting there waiting for this consultation to determine exactly the shape of the system so that the DfE can then either completely rebuild or refurbish those schools. There are applications in, and we're expecting announcements fairly imminently for the same process called Programme 2 for Sandown Bay, and that is for a major refurbish and or rebuild, and for Medina College, which is a much smaller programme, which is essentially around boiler replacement and a few other tweaks. So there's not a lot of money likely to be promised into the Medina site. So what the programme will do, this big DfE programme, it will either rebuild or refurbish the schools to which it has been allocated. And just by way of fingering the wind, because DfE won't tell us how much money they've kind of put aside for the island, it doesn't quite work like that, it costs at least £17 million to rebuild slash refurbish a significant size secondary school, at least. So you can start doing some maths and begin to think, well, that's an awful lot of money that the DfE is prepared to spend on the island. They're hoping to make starts on all their programme right across the country. They're hoping to have got the final start started by September 2017. And they're pushing us to say that really needs a decision on the island as to the shape of things by the summer of 2015. It takes then a year to sort out all the issues around planning, exactly how they're going to do it, etc., in order to get spades in the ground for September 17th. The DfE are calling this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a once-in-a-generation opportunity. This money won't come around again very quickly. And we're really, really keen, as are they, to make sure that it's used as wisely as possible to leave the best possible legacy for the island in terms of its education. So, I'm now going to say, that's the sort of backdrop, and that's sort of why we're doing it. So I'm going to say a bit now about 11 to 16 places, and how we're forecasting them, and how we've got into that, the shape of the world that we should be. And then I'm going to shut up, and Philip Walker is going to talk through post-16, which is of equal importance in this consultation. So, firstly, GCSE outcomes. Educational outcomes are absolutely at the heart of what we're doing here. I'm not asking you to memorise this slide. It's all in the consultation document, it's all online. This is a slide, in fact, that we have updated today because we have had the final government announcements on the GCSE outcomes for 2014. So this is probably the first time, in fact, many of you in the room who are involved in the education stuff have seen these. So this is the final outcomes, and the reason that it says best first is because the government in its wisdom changed the way it adds up GCSE outcomes this year, which means you can't quite compare 2013 to 2014. And what that means is they've measured GCSE outcomes in 2014 in two ways. The first exam, the time you took an exam, which is called first, which is the headline figure they're going with, and then best, which means if you retook and did better, that gets counted in the best score. But we're not sure they're going to finalise those bests, and they are saying the first of the headline figures, so we've used it here. And what I want to focus on here is not individual schools, although I have put them up because I know there is interest and this is public information, but the Isle of Wight average in red on the second to bottom line versus the national average. And you can see that there's just consistent underperformance of an island average for GCSE outcomes against national.
Sorry, is that all the state schools? Does that include the independent
schools? No, it's all states. This is all, there's no independent schools in this. This is all state. And I can't overemphasise that I am certainly not carrying around in my head the idea that island pupils are any more intelligent, stupid or otherwise than anyone else. This is about making sure we have a system going forward that is enabling those island pupils to achieve to their full potential, which is going to be as good as or better than the national picture. I'm going to talk a little bit now about school places forecasting, because it's not an art and it's not alchemy, although I am being accused of being an alchemist at the moment by various people across the island. I'm not. Neither am I Monet. Neither am I Einstein, although Martin here, who does a lot of the school places planning, is close to it. This is not an exact science. We are projecting forward, and you will see the projections in both the consultation document and one or two slides I put on the screen. We are projecting forward 10 years. So if you ask me exactly how many pupils there are going to be on the island in 10 years, in what school, I can't give it to you. But I can give you something very close, because we have a model that is tried and tested that we are confident can get us very, very close to the right numbers. So we think it's this sort of science. Yeah, they're probably going to get the right colours in that test tube. They've probably got about the right quantity, but it's going to be a little bit flexible as to whether it's exact. And you wouldn't want to run a space shuttle experiment on that basis. But that's about where we feel we are, and we're doing our best, and so are they. And I think that's really important. As officers, we are all doing our best, and that's a good level. Hopefully sometimes it's outstanding, but that's why we want to listen to you and we will respond to you, because we are not the only holders of what is the best question to be asking. What influences the supply of school places? Well, money does. The economy influences it in terms of whether there's inward, outward migration to different places, etc. Ofsted, so a school become popular if its Ofsted results are good, and it becomes less popular if its Ofsted results aren't so good. That's fairly blim and obvious. Where housing is, and to be frank, what happens in the housing influences the supply of pupils. Where the schools are now, so that has influence on where we can put schools in the future, because where schools are now is a sort of given, and we can't change that very much. And then there's rurality. And the people of West White know all about rurality in terms of we can't put a school on every corner because there aren't enough pupils to fill it. So we get our data for school places planning from a variety of sources. The Office for National Statistics, and we have people in the organisation who think that's the most wonderful thing to do, to get into that data. We've looked extensively at the 2011 census. We've used the and mine into the Isle of Wight school information system. Health data really comes into it, and the birth data on the Isle of Wight and the ones and two-year-olds in the Isle of Wight is all taken from health data, because that's the only place that people are mostly registered. And then we look at housing development plans and starts, so that we have a feel for what's coming forward in terms of housing development and where. So all that goes into those test tubes and gets stirred up and into a formula that then churns out some figures for us. And a few facts and figures that we found when we were doing this that have some impact on this. So the population of the Isle of Wight has grown since the last census, so 2001 to 2011, so that grew. The number of households in the Isle of Wight has gone up, but the average household size has declined. And that all has factors into how you do school places planning. You're all ageing, yeah? Yeah, you feel that, don't you? But the Isle of Wight population is ageing, generally. You can see the black lines are what it used to be in the previous census, and then we've got the purple and blue, which is what's happening now. It's getting older, but we have got these little bulges through at the bottom around the 25-29s. That's the population, it's a map of the population who are aged 5 to 19 years. And there's something amazing happening around God's Hill, because about 32% of that population is aged between 5 to 19. So I hope there's a skateboard park at least in God's Hill. But that's so there's your map. You've got a real outbreak of young people in God's Hill, and then the various patches, Ryde in particular, and the Ventnor area showing up as quite young and vibrant. And then this is the population age 0 to 4. Something's happening in that sort of valley at the top there. What it is, it's something in the water, I suspect. But that's the population 0 to 4. And you can think about how that might project forward. They might all grow up in that area, or actually, because the housing might be different, at the age of 4 or 5, those families might move to God's Hill. Because that appears to be what's happening in terms of how pupils are going around the system. And we have to do some working out, looking at housing stock, as to whether that's a sort of natural pattern of movement in the island and within the island. Now this shows us, or what shows you, how we're mapping. So this is a map of all Isle of Wight pupils. Every dot represents, I don't know, 100 or so. But that's a map of all Isle of Wight pupils. So we do know where you live. And that shows us that we know, really know where you live, because that's the detail of cows. And we have mapped there, that's a primary mapping, but we've mapped there the pupils and where they're going to school by coloured dots. And it's that level of detail we're looking at to really try and understand how the system is working and what is going to come forward in terms of the pattern of pupils and where they're likely to go to school as we go forward over the next 10 years. That's the birth rate on the island, a steady, gentle increase. There is a sort of trajectory of projected live births to 2021. That's not come from us. That's come from the Office of National Statistics. And there is an expectation that nationally the birth rate will go up and that the Isle of Wight will follow. Now, obviously, that's one of the big ifs, but that's the projections at the moment. So, all of that thrown into the model, with some tweaks, Martin sort of pulls levers, twiddles knobs, and out comes our forecast for all island pupil numbers. And what we've got here on screen, but also in the consultation document and a whole load of other stuff in the consultation document, is our projection forward of year 7 pupils, right the way to 23-24, and the total 11 to 16. And we go to 23-24 for those year 7 pupils because those year 7 pupils, those pupils are going to be in year 7 in 23-24, are sort of one-year-olds now. For obvious reasons, we can't project any further forward because they're not born, and I'm not going there in terms of trying to predict that. But what it's showing is that in the 11 to 16 total secondary population, there is a gentle increase in pupil numbers all the way through. So we're starting at 6,323 total numbers in the secondary population, and by 23-24, we've got to 6,714. And the projections with that birth rate and everything else is that will just gently increase, but that's about what we've got at the moment, and we're not going any further than 23-24. That is a totally reasonable and sort of respected national projection forecast timeline. It might be that there's a meeting like this in 23-24, 23-25, where we're having to look again, I don't know if it'll be us or someone else, having to look again at how things are looking. But that this is our best projections at the moment. So that takes me to option one. I'm deliberately not putting up loads and loads and loads of tables to talk you right the way through how we're getting here. You're welcome to ask questions afterwards. But option one, as we've put it in the consultation document, is that we retain all the 6 secondary schools on the island. I know there's been lots and lots of headlines about option 2, which is to merge Carrickbrook and Medina, but option 1 is to keep them. I also need to say option 3 is all the other ideas that might come forward. We've put forward 2 that seem the most straightforward and obvious. There will be others, I'm sure. So I'm just going to say a little bit about how we got the work behind option 1 and 2. So, how we've got to option 1 and the size the schools need to be in option 1. We have mapped, using all the stuff I talked about before, the nearest school by address for each address on the island, and actually then for each pupil on the island. And that gives you this map here, which won't surprise you, and it won't surprise you to know that this school is the red. So this school is the nearest school for all the addresses that are in the red area. Green is Ryde, blue is Medina, up the top Cowes, etc., etc. So that's the basis, that's how we're starting. The whole consultation is based on the premise of local places for local pupils. If I take you back to my almost first slide, the absolute aim is for all schools on the island to be good and outstanding. And why would any pupil or any parents sort of want anything different? If we get to that point, which is what we're working really hard to achieve, then every local school will be good. And we are then able to plan places on the basis that most pupils will want to go to school in their local communities or in the schools closest to them. And I know for West White, that's not necessarily next door. So what we did, we worked out the nearest secondary school for each pupil who's age 4 to 11 now, because they're the projected numbers going forward. We then worked out the numbers who were likely to attend across the King based on previous patterns of attendance from across the island. So we've looked at the historical patterns. And to get to the numbers that are needed by nearest school, we took the Christ the King projected numbers out of the local population forecast, or local pupil forecast. And that's how we have got to the size of school we think we need in each area, for each of those six schools. Now, I know that's complicated. It's written in the consultation document. You may have to read it six times and scratch your head, but you will get there. That gives us this. We've been through a number of steps to get here, but it gives us this. So for option one, the school sizes that our projections of pupil numbers come up with is this. So Cowes Enterprise College is an 8-form entry. So Effie is form of entry. 8-form entry school. The Island Free School, a 4-form entry. Ryde Academy, 10. Sandown Bay, 8. And those schools in Newport, Christ the King, 9. Now, I need to explain the Christ the King. Christ the King is currently officially an 8-form entry school, but the governing body has made very, very clear that it is going to run an admissions arrangement of at least 9-form entries going forward. The DfE have indicated to us that they will rebuild or remodel Christ the King as a 9-form entry school. So for the purposes of all our planning, we are treating it as a 9-form entry school. So Christ the King in Newport is 9, Medina is 9, and Carisbrook is 4. Now, I need to explain those two bottom numbers. Medina is on a site that is 9 forms of entry. If you base all your planning around that local schools for local pupils, the pattern is that Medina has 4 forms of entry of pupils for whom it is the local school. That makes sense? Carisbrook has 7 forms of entry of pupils for whom our mapping shows it is the nearest school. But we can't shrink Medina. There's no hot wash that will shrink it. So Medina is a 9-form entry school. It is currently more popular than Carisbrook. And therefore, we have assumed it will continue as a 9-form entry school and be able to offer up to 9 forms of entry of pupils. Carisbrook, although it's the nearest school for 7 forms of entry, the patterns are suggesting that Carisbrook as a 4-form of entry school would be the most sensible. The actual nearest school patterns potentially, the actual parental preference patterns are potentially nudging it lower than that. But a 4-form entry secondary school is the minimum viable size for a school. If you go below that, the finances just get so difficult that it is really hard to have the staffing structure and the extracurricular structure, etc., that makes for a good school. So option 2 is to merge Medina and Carisbrook schools. The other secondary schools stay as they are, but with adjusted sizes. So again, we do the modelling, and that gives you a bigger red area, that is the combined Carisbrook-Medina school. And all the other schools, there is some adjustment around Sandown and Ventnor and Rye, but they basically stay the same size. So the principle here that we've worked to is we've looked at, again, the nearest secondary school for each of those 4 to 11-year-olds. We've looked at the numbers who will come out, who would attend Christ the King, and just for interest, it actually is relevant, about 4 forms of entry attend Christ the King from the east of the island, and 5 forms of entry attend Christ the King from the west of the island. And with those pupils removed, we've looked at the number of places that were needed for those 5 secondary schools. And that gives you this shape, much the same outside Newport, a combined Medina and Carisbrook, which would be 11 forms of entry, and Christ the King staying at 9 forms of entry. And that gives us the right number of places in Newport. The previous model does give us an oversupply, because we do need to ensure Carisbrook would be a big enough school to be viable. A couple of things around the mergers on one site or the other. So, if everything was to merge on the Carisbrook site under option 2, the Carisbrook site is big enough to handle that merger. So it is a site that is 11 forms of entry. The DfE funding would rebuild it or remodel it as 11 forms of entry, and it could therefore take that total capacity. We're very, very clear about that PSPB1 funding on that. It is allocated to Carisbrook. The DfE would do what they needed to do for the school of whatever size it would need to be. We know that there are traffic issues that would have to be dealt with in this model on this site. Very well aware, I suspect there will be questions about them later, and we welcome that. We're aware of the number of buses that will be here. We're wondering what we might, if we went for this model eventually, what we might be able to do about further off-street parking, etc. with the site, so we can start to have a little bit of that. But we know there'll have to be an extensive look at how travel and traffic works. We know that this school is the closest for West White, and that if everything was merged onto the Medina site, the West White pupils will have further to travel. I know that per se that's not particularly a long way, but that rush hour traffic may contribute to time and travel distances on that. If everything got merged onto this site, then there is a journey across Newport to be had for those pupils who are currently more local to Medina. So how would pupils walk or make their way across Newport in the direction of this site? Another important thing right at the bottom there, the Medina site lends itself, by the nature of its buildings, etc., to be used as a sixth form college. So if the post-16 consultation was to look in the direction of a sixth form college for the island, the Medina site lends itself to being that, that site. So you can begin to see how complex all this is and how everything interweaves with everything else. The considerations of the merger, any merger on the Medina site. The Medina site, as it is at the moment, is not big enough to take an 11 form entry school. It is built as a 9 form entry school. Therefore, it would have to be expanded by 2 forms of entry to be able to accommodate all the pupils. That expansion would cost between £5 and £7 million. We don't at the moment know where that money would come from. It is possible that the DfE would consider moving its priority school building programme money around, and that option is certainly not ruled out by anyone. We know that the Isle of Wight could not fund it, so unless the DfE was prepared to flex in the way it deals with its money, it is not fundable to put 2 more forms of entry through the Isle of Wight Council's money. It hasn't got that sort of money. We know there's a journey time for West White issue. We know there is potentially a sports facility issue, because Medina is currently about 7 forms of entry. If you take that to 11 forms of entry, they have dual and joint use of the sports centre, so that would have to be some very careful scheduling around that, and also potentially additional costs for the school in paying for the use of that facility. And then there are going to be, wherever you put an 11 form entry school, either here or the Medina site, there will be traffic issues, the Medina site is currently pushed over capacity of traffic and transport at 7 points of entry. So the same issues are there, they're just perhaps got slightly different guises. That's the end of what I'm going to say. We will move straight on to proposal 16, which Philip is going to cover, and then we'll be available for as many questions as you want to ask afterwards.
Okay, thank you. As introduced earlier, I'm Philip Walker. I'm responsible for post 16 education and training in Hampshire and on the Isle of Wight. That also includes the local authority services to support young people's participation. Formerly, that would be called Connections, but you may recognise it as the Choices team there. And a large part of the work is around supporting more young people into some form of education or training or increasing employment, such as an apprenticeship. I mention that because actually, whilst we've been referring to a range of challenges that the Isle of Wight has in connection to this consultation, when it comes to participation after school, the island does very well. And schools do a good job in supporting lots of young people to go on to do something post 16. The challenge we have, to use that word again, is the outcomes. So how well they perform in the activity, in their programme to study post 16 is really one of the key challenges that we're trying to provoke a debate around in this consultation process. Another positive to present is that vocational outcomes, so those young people following VTECs and also apprenticeships and similar types of qualifications, perform very well, and outcomes across the island in vocational courses are strong, and regarded as good, and in some places outstanding. And in comparison to the rest of the country, the island performs very well indeed. A lot of those young people, of course, go to the college, but there are also vocational programmes offered in most of the schools, if not all of them, and again, those outcomes are consistently good. So that brings us on to where we want to focus, and that's around A-level provision on the island. And I regret to say, and you would have seen perhaps some of the outcomes published this year and for previous years, those outcomes are not strong. We know that lots of young people work very hard, very able, and lots of staff are supporting them as best as they are able also within those school settings, but the unfortunate reality is that the outcomes across the island are not strong. There are a number of consequences to that, and Felicity's touched on some of those earlier. So that's why we're focusing on A-levels in particular. I've mentioned that the outcomes are not at national average. They are unfortunately consistently below national average. It does vary between school, and we'll get on to some individual school data later, but as a local authority area, those outcomes are below national and statistical neighbour averages. There's no single measure for A-levels in the way that there is perhaps for GCSE. So we don't take 5 A-levels, A star to C, and that's your consistent measure. There are a range of outcomes in terms of how many A-levels people pass, whether they pass at high grades, how many points their grades equate to. That's very important when it comes to applying to university. We have got poor levels of progression to higher education on the island, not uniquely on the island, and nationally we've seen in the recently published 2012-13 a dip in the proportion of young people going on from state-funded provision to higher education. That's also the year that fees were introduced, and you may want to draw a conclusion that that's had an impact. Actually, to the island's credit, in that year, the proportion went up from 43 to 45%. So 45% of young people who finished their education at level 3, which is the advanced level, on the island in state-funded schools and colleges, progressed to higher education. I just want to acknowledge the error that was in the original consultation document. I'm the accountable officer for that post-16 section, so I offer an apology around that. But it nonetheless still presents that performance is not where we would all want it to be. in terms of supporting a system that supports more young people onto university, and in particular onto some of the top performing universities, known as the Russell Group. We have multiple sixth form providers. There are seven schools currently offering A-levels in their sixth forms, plus the college. So seven publicly funded A-level providers on the island itself. Of course, you then have the independent sector. About 150 young people leave the island each year to study post-16 programmes on the mainland. Not all of those are doing A-levels. Many go and do specialist vocational programmes, so for example, at Sparsholt, but a good number do go to do A-levels at places like Brockenhurst, Taunton's College, Portsmouth College, and so on. And that means there is a significant amount of competition between providers. And that's, again, one of the factors that we want to provoke a debate around as part of this process. School sixth forms. There's often a debate about the viability of school sixth forms, and is there a magic number at which it breaks even? There isn't a formula, but what you'll often find referenced is that any school with probably less than 250 full-time students, that number's probably going up as post-16 funding is squeezed, because unlike school funding pre-16, post-16 funding has not been protected by government. And indeed, the political announcements this week indicate that will continue, that there won't be a protection under certain parties should they win the election later in this year. So there's a real cut in post-16 funding, meaning the number of learners to make your school sixth form viable is probably going north of that 250 often quoted figure. We also have a further feature on the island wide, again not unique to the island, but we are seeing it perhaps a little more prevalently here, where young people are taking 3 years to complete their post-16 studies. For example, that could be where a young person chooses or is supported into an A-level programme in what we might call the lower six, so academic year 12, and then it's decided, or they decide, for whatever reason, that's not their programme of choice, either in terms of subject or type of study. They then transfer somewhere else, largely to the college, but also training providers on the island, the likes of HTP, Smart Training, and so on, and very often are then starting again, meaning that if they're doing advanced level programmes, it can take them up to 3 years. Now, that's in one way fine. If that's the time they need to complete their studies successfully, that's the time they need. But again, last year government cut funding for third year sixth form studies by 17.5%. So institutions now get less money for students that take longer. There's an assumption that by the time you get to academic year 13, you know, you only need a little more support to get through to the end of your studies. So I think most schools and colleges would argue that point, but government policy is based around that principle, and therefore they have cut the funding. So what do we want to create? I hope none of this is particularly controversial, but obviously, again, it's about provoking a discussion through this process. We want to see a high-performing system. Young people are very able on the Isle of Wight, and we need a system that supports them and allows them to maximise their talent. We want to see positive value added, and by that, what we mean is that based on the GCSE results at the start of their A-levels, we want a system that supports young people to achieve not just what you would project them to achieve, but beyond that. Regrettably, four out of the seven publicly funded A-level providers on the island at the moment produce negative value added. That means they achieve lower grades at the end of their A-levels than you would otherwise have projected based on their GCSE starting point. We want to continue to support high levels of participation. Last year, the participation age raised to 17. Now, raising participation doesn't mean to say all young people have to stay in school or go to college. Government's encouraging more and more to do apprenticeships, and the island does very well in supporting young people into apprenticeships. but there is a duty to stay in educational training until you're 17. That will go up again in September this year to age 18. So though the island as well, we've got more work to do to support more young people to stay on and meet a duty that's actually placed on them. And of course there's that issue about progression to employment and higher education. So a high performing system, lots of good positive value added, supporting good progression onto university and into employment. Yes, we need to ensure we offer choice and diversity in terms of the type of provision that's out there for young people. So here, not that means in terms of the range of A-level courses that are offered and run, because often you will see lots of programmes offered, but how many run will vary, depending on the viability of classes. That's always going to be a feature, but clearly we want to ensure that there's a good match between what's offered and what's actually run. And also between providers. And there was a proposal a number of years ago which was to consolidate all A-level provision at the Further Education College. And I think for a number of reasons that proposal wasn't adopted. What it would have done is put all provision in one place. And whilst you have an outstanding Further Education College on the island, clearly that would have removed a large element of choice on the island. The next point is about attracting high calibre teaching staff and leaders to run a sixth form provision on the island. There's a contrary argument to this about, well, if you have schools without sixth forms, does that detract good teachers who may otherwise come because they want to teach at A-level? It's a perfectly valid argument and it will vary from individual to individual. There's no evidence to suggest that that is the case, but I'm sure there are individuals who would argue that is so. And of course, we want a system that benefits from economy of scale. Funding is a factor here. I've already talked about size of school sixth forms and how, if they're of a particular size, they probably require subsidy from the main school budget. That takes money away from children at KSA 3 and 4 to prop up, as I say, a financially unviable sixth form. But perhaps through an aggregated approach, a more collaborative approach, we can achieve some economies of scale, which mean that financially the sixth form provision is more viable in its own right. So, these are all the island's post-16 providers. They don't all offer A-levels, but we've put them up there just to demonstrate the breadth of choice that is actually there within the island. If you compare that to a district in a county, in Dorset or Hampshire or Sussex, that would stand up pretty well. You wouldn't get that breadth of choice, I'd say, on a similar geographical area on the mainland, not without travelling further distances at least. The other point to mention here to you is that government funds places of learning, so they don't fund A levels as such. Places of learning, programmes of study, about £4,000 per student, full-time student. There are 3,444 to be exact, funded places on the island this year. So you have a post-16 system that's worth about 15 to 16 million.
Sorry, where's that money from, please?
That money comes from the Education Funding Agency.
That's central government?
Direct, yeah. Doesn't come from the other college, but direct to these institutions. For apprenticeships and adult learning, that comes from the Skills Funding Agency. And I won't sort of bore you with the bureaucracy of government, but they are different government departments. One government department is responsible for education, and one is responsible for skills. So, I'm going to go on to a few slides now, looking at performance at local authority level, and then a few slides at school and college level. Talked about statistical neighbours earlier, and there's more detail in the document itself. This is the sort of summary of the chart. This is showing performance over the last 2 years, and I would say that government has changed every year for at least the last 5 years how it measures A levels. For the last 2 years, it's measured the percentage achieving 3 A levels at A star to E, so just passing 3 A levels. And on average,
if there is such a thing. Young people following sixth form provision will follow the 3A levels. It does vary, some do four, some do two. But if we look at 3A levels as a basis for entry into university, this is the pass rate. And you can see that the island is below both statistical aims and national average. The gap isn't really closing. Slightly different news here. This is the percentage of students achieving grades A, A, and B or above, and including in what they call facilitating subjects. Facilitating subjects are those A levels that the Russell Group universities, so Oxford, Cambridge, Durham, Southampton, and so on, place the most value on. So we're going to support more young people into those high achieving universities. It's the facilitating subjects that they will look at when they apply. The positive news here is that we're seeing some improvement on the RLIs in 2014. Credit to the young people and teachers who have supported them. But still, we're seeing that lag behind the national and statistical neighbours average. So that's at local authority level. Next two slides are the same information but broken down at institution level, and it does vary. So, they did produce this statistic in 2012. So in 2013 and 14, you can see that the Isle of Wight's average went from 69 to 67, but with some variation between the different institutions. Christ the King, for information, didn't complete their first full A-level programmes until the results that were produced this year, 2014. It was the first full two-year cohort. Isle of Wight, statistical neighbours and national average has stayed fairly constant. To be fair and obvious, the national average has dipped as well, so the Isle of Wight is only following the national trend, and 1 point, the gap is over by one further point, but it's not closing.
Can I just ask, are Carisbrook and Medina joint at No Till now?
No. Carisbrook and Medina run a co-located sixth form. Both Carisbrook and Medina are separately registered sixth forms.
Together in the classrooms?
What that is doing is looking to achieve some economies of scale to allow those institutions to provide a broader range of A levels, and I think we are seeing some success on those measures. But when it comes to their separate performance, they are judged separately, they are funded separately, and they are registered separately. So they are technically co-located, it is not a joint sixth form.
What about children who join sixth form from program CALS?
I would guess fairly confidently that from a young person's point of view, it's one institution. They have a common experience. But when it comes to reporting performance, they are registered against each school separately currently. And this is the AAB grades, including facilitating subjects. And here you can see this is where we're reporting positively that performance on the Isle of Wight has gone up on average. And actually, there are four, if you include Sandown, institutions performing around or above the national average, and three performing around above.
So that's what it shows, that Carisbrook is as good as Christ the King, isn't it? Yeah. When you start getting those high levels, those other ones could be 3 E's, and that's when we don't look so good. But then you look at Isle of Wight College, and that's not good for getting those kids up to the Russell Group. This is a much better...
This is exactly the sort of comments that need to come out. I think you need to consider other things alongside this in terms of perhaps when students are joining the Isle of Wight College, perhaps the entry level for GCSE entry scores of children going to A-levels at the college as opposed to sixth forms. But yes, but this provides you, warts and all, with the performance of the sixth form. Factors around these figures to consider, but these sort of questions and comments are exactly the sort of thing we want to cover. So, yeah, when it comes to this measure, a high-performing sixth form attached to this score. We've put this slide up, we wanted to put a slide up relating to progression to higher education. Just again to explain, we've referenced the issue about progression to higher education as one of the factors provoking us to include A-levels in this consultation. It's a stat that matters, but it's amongst a range of things that we want people to consider. So, these are for progression in 2012-13. So, yes, it's 2 years ago, but this is the very latest data published by the department. And it's, we believe, an accurate transcription of what is available on the website. So here you've got, and we're referencing just state-funded provision here. So all the independent sector has been taken out. You've got the All England average for state-funded at 48% progression. Overall, 16% to top third, and 11% to the Russell Group. These are measures that the government now applies in how it performance manages all institutions offering post-16 education. You can see for state-funded schools, the average is 50, if I just concentrate on that middle column for the moment, for the sake of time, the average is 56%. The average on the other right is 49%. So a 7 percentage point difference there. For colleges in England, the average is 39%, and the college here on the island is 37%. You've then got it broken down by institution. So the purpose of including schools and colleges separately, when you're looking at a school, the comparison nationally is 56. When you're looking at the college, the comparison is 39. And then obviously as you go down the other two measures as well. Again, this information is available online for you to analyse, and indeed if you want to look at a significant amount of published data from the department, it's on the DfE's website. And again, I think there's a link through the consultation website back to the source data. So the options we've presented post-16, the first one is that all schools keep their sixth forms. I mentioned earlier there are seven. From 2015 there will be an eighth in the form of the studio school offering A-levels as part of a engineering and focused curriculum. Options B, C and D are variations on a theme really, which is about how we bring together sixth form provision into an aggregated, consolidated offer. We refer to it as a sixth form college. There are actually some choices within choices here, because a sixth form college could be a free sixth form college, it could be a collegiate offer between the schools, or it could be a standalone new institution. And then option E is any other alternative proposal we haven't thought of. And again, encouraging you to scratch your heads and think, how else could we improve outcomes in relation to sixth form provision on the Isle of Wight?
I'm just going to run through a couple of things on what happens next, and then we're going to go into questions. So there's the consultation votes. If you want to relive this, you can relive it many times, and hopefully by the end of it you'll understand it. But those are where it's going to be, and we welcome your proposals on other ways we can get people engaged in this. If I need to go to a local freight and have wet sponges thrown at me, although it's a bit cold in February, I will. But I really, really want to make sure that everybody who in any way should or could be engaged, that we really, really do reach out to them. And the website has got the consultation document on it. It's got links to the source data. We're updating frequently asked questions throughout, as they come up at these meetings and as they come up on email requests, etc. So that is going to be your best source of the most recent everythings. And ultimately, there will be a report that we as officers will write, having listened to everything, having considered everything, for Councillor Bacon, and we will take that forward in the summer. That's the web address, so if you haven't got it written down, find a shirt sleeve or something, write it down, but you will find it from the Isle of Wight Council's website. Any suggestions for how we can improve that website, make it more accessible, that would be great. We're also putting up all press releases on that site. And I'll move into questions now. Gentleman's going to chair that, and we're going to have another mic here that we're going to rove around with.